A conversation on race in Connecticut. Lisa Wexler talks to Bridgeport civic activist Wayne Winston. Now, on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
Joining us now is Wayne Winston. Hey, Wayne, thanks for holding. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. I'm doing a little driving this morning, so if there's a little bit of noise here and there, that's what it is. And thumbs up to WICC for their continued support of getting the shot and supporting how important that it is that we do everything we can to be vaccinated. We got to make this thing better, and it can't be political. Some things just are about the right thing to do. If not for you, for somebody else. You know, have a heart, stay 6 feet apart, and do what you need to do.
Okay, so and Wayne, speaking of that, since you come on the show very often, the voice of the Black community locally, Bridgeport has really been lagging, and Bridgeport, we know, has many Black people in it and many people of color. It's really been lagging compared to other parts of the state. It's been lagging compared to the suburbs. What are you hearing on the ground in terms of continued resistance to getting the vaccine? What are the obstacles?
Some of the challenges haven't changed much from the beginning, which is trust in the government for, you know, these reasons from the past that we know historically have happened. Two, other people are still believing that the shot just isn't going to do and protect them the way that it should. That's why I'm very understanding and compassionate about folks in the community that feel that way. But during the summer, during the winter, we also did our own campaign, you know, community leaders and so on, and church leaders to go door to door to encourage them to get the vaccine. I know it is of the utmost importance because I know people that it has helped. You know, I know folks that have passed from it. And there is nothing more important than doing what we can in our community. So if you're listening to this and you're anyone in our community, anyone that doesn't have to be influenced, a brother, a sister, whoever, they just kind of feel like it's over now. The masks are off. It's turning into, you know, a whole big thing. But I found that we're less political about it and more having to do with whether we trust the source and what's going on.
So if it's less political and it's about the source, there are plenty of people of color now in government, plenty of mayors, plenty of politicians, plenty of people associated with the federal government, plenty of doctors. I mean, the people of color are so well integrated in terms of this healthcare effort. It's I would think that they would at least trust their own who are telling them to get vaccinated.
You know, there's a lot of things that don't have to do with emotion. I mean, human logic, it turns more into emotion. And some people have really had a pretty bad, you know, reaction to it. I know a young lady I work with, and she was concerned because her mom had a very bad reaction to it. On the same time, there's others that are encouraging. I wish I had the magic button answer, but no one in the country does. People have their own insecurities about this thing, despite even the people of color coming up in doctors and so on and so forth. A lot of the younger people feel like they're invincible, just like in any other demographic.
Yeah,
but
that's
a lot
true.
Of the older people, they're definitely on board with getting the vaccine. And is what is very encouraging. It's getting this demographic that is, say, 40 and under
to
get them on board.
Yeah,
that,
it is. And
the
they, you know,
side.
And I think because COVID came with such an, the original COVID came with such an attack on the old, the younger people were like, I can do this. I can do this. But then Delta has hit and Delta doesn't seem to care how old you are. Or maybe it's because so many of the older people are vaccinated that it seems that proportionately, disproportionately, the younger getting hit worse. Listen, if you're listening to us here on WICC, cannot stress enough, the FDA approval was gotten yesterday for Pfizer. It's a two-shot process, and you can get it for free right now until 6 o'clock by going to the Hartford Health Amphitheater in Bridgeport, where you can say hi to Melissa Sheketoff. She'll be there for a few more minutes. You might see one of your favorites on our sister radio stations, WEB and WPLR and the Fox. So, listen, What can I say? I think it's time for you to get a vaccine. All right, Wayne, let's just move the conversation a little bit. I know there's something else on your mind, and this has to do with a recent Trumbull Board of Ed meeting that you attended. Of all of the audio that you sent us, only one bit has come through with the quality that we can play on the station. So let's play it. This is Ellie Grasso. Who is Ellie Grasso?
You know, we've had for months an anti-racism forum that we do, and we talked about it online as well. So what we wound up doing is having a chance to go to the Board of Ed and being able to voice our opinions about the support that needs to happen for this culturally inclusive history, racially inclusive history that the state of Connecticut is doing. So Ellie is one of the people that are on our team, and she's a white woman. She has, I believe, three kids in the school system. And she's very adamant and understands how important it is that we have this conversation to bring this country together. So this was her excerpt, the one that you have from the board meeting on the 17th. There's a lot of hostility that was going on the other side, but I'm assuming we're going to start with that, and then we can fill it in from there.
Yeah, you can tell us what happened, but this is the only audio clip that we can actually hear well enough to play. So this is a mother and somebody who was speaking at a recent August 17th Board of Ed meeting in Trumbull. I don't know how she goes through Connecticut with a name like Ellie Grasso when everybody wants to call her Ella Grasso. But Ellie, yeah. Here we go. Here we go.
Why is this so controversial? Why is it so difficult to convince some people to simply care about another? A fundamental understanding that must be part of CR work is humility. Humility is a virtue that centers on low self preoccupation and is an essential democratic virtue necessary in a multicultural society like ours. So why do I support CRE? Because when a little girl who is Black is told by a few of her classmates who are white that her skin is the wrong color and that she should go back to Africa, she tells the teacher who has not been trained to deal with such a circumstance. And then the teacher tells the principal who is equally unprepared to handle the situation. And then when the untrained principal, not knowing what to do, eventually just tells the little Black child that her friends didn't mean it that way and that she must have heard them wrong. It means that the Black girl is utterly abandoned by the adult. And the white students miss a true opportunity for transformation. And as a result, no progress is made and divisions are made worse. That is a story that happened to my daughter, and the principal in that story is on this board. This is why we need this. These are real people and real consequences.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so Ellie Grasso is a white woman, but she is the mother of mixed race children, Wayne. Is that what we got from that conversation?
You know what? I am not. Oh, no. What she's about, she was talking about something that happened to a friend of her daughter's.
She said, that's what happened to my daughter. So that's why it was unclear to me.
Okay. Okay. So let me not misspeak. I am not sure if she has mixed children.
Okay.
But from the story, and long story short, she's explaining that to the board, and what happened to, she was saying, my understanding was, she was explaining what happened to the teacher about this kid that was in her classroom. Now, we can clarify that later, but the important thing is that she's saying how important that this conversation is, you know,
yes.
as a white woman with young children, that we have to build these bridges and not start putting up these borders that say, you know, Black is better than white, white's better than Black, because that's not what it's about.
Well, what I heard her say is that she feels that somehow this curriculum is actually going to help adults understand how to better respond to racist remarks among kids, that somehow there'll be some tools in them that will maybe hopefully prevent these kind of conversations among kids to begin with. But then if they happen, not to dismiss them out of hand. That's what I was hearing in her commentary.
And that is true. And what happens is that the board meeting prior to the last one, you had people saying that it was CRT that is being taught, critical race theory, which we've discussed, in the Trumbull school system, which it is not. It's not in any of the Connecticut school systems. And they literally had prepared, the state of Connecticut had prepared, with the support of the Trumbull Board of Education, who asked them to do this, a process called CERT, which was able to show adults and answer some of those questions, how to have that uncomfortable questions. And they shut that down in the last board meeting about the discussion period. And this was for the adults, not even the children. So there are people that are there that don't want that discussion to happen at all. They don't want the discussion having to do with, you know, Black Lives Matters having any place in from a historic standpoint, it happened. They don't want the inclusive Black history of the impact that slavery's had. In some schools, systems across the country, because this has become a nationwide thing, they don't want anything taught about the negative impact that it had. And I know that people are feeling like, you know, geez, this is a lot, but it's just history. It's just history.
Yeah. We're chatting with Wayne Winston. We'll be right back. We're also going to talk a little bit about the controversy around masks that also erupted at this Trumbull Board of Ed meeting. Stay tuned for more of local news here on the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.
A conversation on race in Connecticut. Lisa Wexler talks to Bridgeport civic activist Wayne Winston. Now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. Wayne Winston joins us now. Wayne, you had furnished to us another clip from the Trumbull Board of Ed meeting. This is a gentleman speaking about masks. Andrew previewed it and said we can hear it on the air, that it is good enough quality. So let's hear it now.
Mr. Superintendent, you lied to us, sir. You responded to my wife in an email saying there was no CRT in Trumbull. And then last meeting, you said the same thing. Okay, sir, you know CRT is CERT. Okay, I'm sorry. Knowing that, I have to question, unfortunately, your character and your integrity and your honor. So now I know my words fall on deaf ears. All right, so I am now going to speak to the parents. Parents, it is now time for us to stand together. Parents, strength is in numbers and courage is contagious. I tell you now, on August 31st, I will be dropping my two children off at the Inman's Farm School in Trumbull without masks.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Can I ask you something? Okay, it's enough. I don't understand. Let me understand something. The same person who is opposed to CRT, who equates it with CERT, which we're going to have to learn that there's a distinction, and that person is also defiant about masks, which has to do with a public health calamity of COVID. That's the same person equating freedom to not wear a mask with not wanting to teach racism and the history of racism in schools. Correct? At least in that human individual. That's what he equated. So, am I right, Wayne? Yeah.
Absolutely. And the part that you don't have on the clip, or you weren't able to get, because that was straight from the Board of Ed's, they have a community TV, he literally said it was his God-given right that he doesn't have to abide by those rules.
Mm-hmm. You realize that we could have one entire conversation about race and racial history, race history and racial inclusion, and put that in a bucket of talking about ourselves and our sociology and our history, and then have a completely other conversation about public health, and they are not the same thing. You realize that, Wayne. They are not the same thing.
That's why it's the cheering squad, they had brought their own crew. They got the loudest claps of the night because we're sitting there going like, oh, man, this is really like math. You know, this is mask. You know, we know that it transfers. It's just mask, you know. But he was very adamant. He was very clear about his position. And whenever I hate when people he used Bible quotes, you know, to make his point. And I was going like, wow, this is really out there. And I'm sorry for the audio, but again, that's how it came. It's kind of garbled. And then there was a blonde woman, very attractive, that came up and just basically said, asked if the board, which happens to be all white in Trumbull, there aren't any people of color on the board of education, asked them, are they ashamed of being white. And, you know, your silence is deafening. You haven't answered. Now, it's public forum. They can't respond anyway. Your silence is deafening, and you should not basically be trying to make your kids feel guilty about being white because you're teaching CRT, and CERT is CRT. So now it's shifted into CERT, which they tried to use in the last board meeting to just have the adults learn how to deal with these things as it being CRT. And that's a horrifying message. Having this discussion is so important. People gave their lives historically in the past. I'm so proud of so many Trumbull residents and Fairfield residents and Eastern residents, all just stepping up because I've had a chance to have them within the forum and just reach out personally, that they're like, we have to do this for our kids. And our educators are phenomenal in Connecticut, except they've been threatened by people who are fellow administrators about teaching, quote, CRT. And they're worried about their jobs, which brought us to Fran Rabinowitz, who is the superintendent for all the public schools for the state of Connecticut. And we had a Zoom call with her. And she, again, assured us there's no CRT, which we all knew, and how important this thing is that the state of Connecticut is doing. We are ahead of everybody at trying to bridge this gap in the discussion of race in our state.
I want to clarify one thing about Fran Rabinowitz. Fran Rabinowitz is the head of an association of superintendents, but she's not the chief superintendent because we don't have any such thing. We have decentralized education in Connecticut. Just want to make that clear.
Right.
She would want me to make that clear. She would want me to make that clear.
Yeah, she's the executive director of CAPS.
Of an association of superintendents. So she speaks on behalf of, to the extent superintendents have one voice about whatever it is, then she would speak on their behalf. But she doesn't, they don't report to her. That was my point.
Agreed.
Okay, so... yeah. Well, we only have a couple of minutes left, as usual, Wayne Winston. But I'm trying to think what that person has in common in terms of the same train of thought. And this is my guess. My guess is that the person who is against masks and the person who's against CRT in such a fervent way against the teaching or the reteaching of race in schools in a way that seems viscerally threatening to him. Is a person who, number one, is upset by any change to preconceived thinking, which has to do with education, is upset by what he perceives to be a threat to his personal freedom, by people that want him to change his behavior in response to something that he feels he can't see or touch. And so it seems to me it's a very literally reactionary way of responding to things that appear to be overwhelming and that appear to be changing his thinking of the status quo. That's what I think. I think it when you overhaul things, you get people scared. And I think that's what that is. You're hearing fear.
And I agree. He was part of the group with the blonde who basically just went straight to the race issue, you know, and tried to shame them into saying, you're doing something horrible. You're creating an obstacle for our kids. You know, this whole acclimation of, you know, black people and those issues going on, you know, and they're going to feel bad about that. And how are you going to feel about that as a parent doing this to your child? And it's really kind of frightening and tragic because people love to quote Dr. Martin Luther King's famous, you know, judge us by the, you know, our character, not the color of our skin. And every time we try to get there, we have things like this. So it takes courage. You know, I see it's like the abolitionist versus the segregationist to a degree, where there's people who are just locked in there. And I understand it could be frightening to ask someone to change their mindset of a lot of the stereotypes that have become comfortable throughout the years. But, you know, the AMA has apologized for racism, as we've discussed here. You know, teaching their students,
Wayne,
that, you know.
We're going to have to continue this next week. You have a good week, Wayne Winston. Thanks for being on the show today, and thanks for your on-the-spot reporting from these Board of Ed meetings. Keep it coming. We want to hear what's going
on.
Thanks
a lot. Absolutely. Get vaccinated.